Stay tuned now for Edward R. Murrow with the news, presented by Hams. H-A-M-M-S. Hams. Yes, Hams, America's most refreshing beer, brings you America's favorite newscaster, Edward R. Murrow. Looks refreshing, tastes refreshing, is refreshing. Hams, America's most refreshing beer, from the land of the sky blue waters. Have a Hams when you want real refreshment. Ask for Hams wherever fine beer is sold. It's America's most refreshing beer, Hams. And now, Edward R. Murrow.
This is the news. The communists have pushed in our line in Central Korea. They have thrown from 50 to 100,000 men, the estimates are that far apart, into a 30-mile front. They have pushed us back from 7 to 9 miles. They are now fighting United Nations troops in Hong Song, just 10 miles above Wanju. All reports from the battlefront compare this attack to that of last November, when the Chinese started driving us back from the north. The enemy attacked at night when our planes couldn't get at him. He hit us in a snowstorm in a mountainous area where our mechanized units are at a disadvantage. The enemy struck at the South Koreans, caused them to break and flee. He is aiming to drive down our center, expose our flanks, make our whole line withdraw. And again, the communists are pouring troops into the battle like fleas, regardless of losses, attacking from the north, east, and west, with a roadblock set up behind us. To the west, our tanks that captured Kimpo Airfield have moved 18 miles northwest of Seoul. And to the east, well, a South Korean unit either did or did not cross the 38th parallel. Yesterday, an 8th Army officer said they did, said they moved 5 miles beyond the border. Today, the spokesman said that report was a mistake. The South Koreans met the North Koreans on the border. The Sunday news that the South Koreans had crossed over into North Korea brought a protest today from Prime Minister Attlee of Great Britain. He told the House of Commons General MacArthur should refrain from sending troops above the parallel until there had been full consultation with the United Nations, particularly those nations like Britain with troops at the front. Later, the State Department said, we are consulting with other governments on whether to cross the border if we can. The Pentagon said today that we are going to bring our divisions in Korea up to full strength with draftees who've had 14 weeks of basic training in this country. That may take from 16 to 30,000 men. Prime Minister Nehru of India told his parliament today his country will maintain friendly relations with both Communist China and the United States. And the president today asked Congress to authorize the shipment of 2 million tons of grain to India, where there is a real danger of famine. This would cost us $180 million. The president wants Congress to authorize half of that now. He took note of our differences with India over the Korean problem, but he said we must help the Indians with food in a spirit of friendly aid to alleviate human suffering. Mr. Truman told his new security commission today that they must study our national security problems absolutely independent of everybody and everything. After the group, headed by Admiral Nimitz, had been sworn in, the president promised them access to the full loyalty files of the FBI. He asked the commission to find a balance whereby we can be sure all government employees are loyal and at the same time see that the rights of the individuals are amply protected. The president today sent Congress the names of all 5 commissioners of the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, despite the fact that a Senate subcommittee had accused 3 of them of abusing their authority by yielding to outside influence. Some Democratic and Republican senators immediately made it known they'll fight the renominations of Commissioners William E. Willett, Walter Lee Dunham, and C. Edward Rowe. And Chairman Maybank of the Senate Banking Committee called on the president and then told reporters White House aides accused of influencing RFC loans should testify before the committee and get the facts straightened out if they believe they are unjustly accused. The subcommittee charged Donald Dawson, a White House aide, with exercising influence over RFC loans. The other day, the president dared Congress to cut his $71.5 billion budget. Today, Senator George, Democratic chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, said that budget can be cut by $5 to $6 billion without harm. And he said, I'm not guilty of any attempt to deceive the American people. Defense Secretary Marshall has told Congress that eventually, that is, after the military budget goes up for the next few years, he hopes to level off military spending at $35 billion a year. He estimates that on the basis of a 3.5 million man armed force, it costs $10,000 a year to maintain each person in uniform. That includes the prorated cost of planes, ships, tanks, and the like. The Commerce Department says consumer incomes last year set a new high, more than $232 billion, about $17 billion over the previous year. Price Director DeSalle says he expects the general price level to go up 6% or more before it's stabilized. His agency today removed price ceilings from raw, unprocessed foods. This will affect few items sold over the grocery counters, but sugar may go up 1 or 2 cents a pound. In Britain today, Anthony Eden suggested that the Western Big Three and the Commonwealth nations should agree to protect Yugoslavia against communist aggression from the satellite countries. He believes that such a notice to Moscow would serve the peace. In Iran, the Shah was married to the 19-year-old daughter of a one-time rebel tribe chieftain. And here in New York, a spokesman for the Senate Crime Investigators says former Mayor O'Dwyer, now ambassador to Mexico, has been asked to testify on the New York picture as he knows it. This has been a great day of speechmaking for the Republicans in honor of Abraham Lincoln. Mr. Lincoln once said, "The inclination to exchange thoughts with one another is probably an original impulse of our nature. If I be in pain, I wish to let you know it and to ask your sympathy and assistance. And my pleasurable emotions, I also wish to communicate to and share with you. But to carry on such communications, some instrumentality is indispensable. Accordingly, speech, articulate sounds rattled off from the tongue, was used by our first parents, and even by Adam before the creation of Eve. Mr. Lincoln pointed out that one always has his tongue with him. The breath of his life is the ever-ready material with which it works. He added, what one observes and would infer nothing from, he tells to another, and that other at once sees a valuable hint in it. A result is thus reached which neither alone would have arrived at. Here is a brief summary of what Republican spokesmen arrived at today. The general agreement that the administration is bankrupt, vacillating, incompetent, and in general ought to be replaced with Republicans. But beyond that, the area of agreement is not broad. Senator Jim Duff, former governor of Pennsylvania, ever eager for a battle, says his party has got to formulate some affirmative and positive policies, not merely negative and critical ones. Duff says that if this means we have to have some rough scrapping within the party, let's have it now. Sober Senator Saltonstall of Massachusetts says the party must keep its feet on the ground, avoid mere obstructionism. Senator Wherry of Nebraska, Republican floor leader in the Senate, disagrees with Saltonstall, says the president is trying to usurp the powers of Congress. It would be suicide to commit ourselves to a land war with Russia until we have pulverized them from the air. Senator Wherry wants a citizen's army of 100 divisions to be kept at home until they're needed. Saltonstall says he's against any backyard defense of this country. Says, can we survive in the United States with Europe and all its people and their resources in communist hands? Such a theory, he says, and such a situation are unthinkable. Joe Martin, Republican leader in the House, wants to clean out the State Department from top to bottom, starting with Dean Acheson. He wants us to supply Chiang Kai-shek with arms, supplies, and experts to mount what he calls a second front on the Chinese mainland. He says Chiang's troops are well-trained, willing, and begging for the opportunity to fight. This will be news to a number of experienced reporters who have recently been on Formosa. Senator Richard Nixon, the freshman senator from California, thinks Governor Thomas E. Dewey ought to stop using the term isolationist to describe those fellow Republicans who disagree with him about foreign policy. By this, he presumably meant former President Hoover and Senator Robert A. Taft. According to Senator Nixon today, Dewey and Hoover are actually in basic agreement on our foreign policy in Europe. If this be true, the agreement is so far below the surface that it can't be seen by those who have read the speeches of both men with some care. In a speech tonight, Governor Dewey will widen the breach between himself and the Hoover-Taft-Wherry faction of the party. Mr. Hoover wants a Western Gibraltar. Senator Taft, a strict congressional limitation on the deployment of American troops in Western Europe. Governor Dewey terms a policy of withdrawal from the free world Operation Suicide. He thinks it's a time for boldness and advocates that Greece and Turkey be brought into the North Atlantic Pact and that we tell the Russians we'll go to war to save Iran, Spain, and Yugoslavia. The government wants us to reinforce American troops in Europe immediately and stop the business of waiting for wars and crises and then frantically improvising. A couple of years ago, Governor Dewey tried to throw the administration out of office. He still thinks that's a worthy undertaking, and he thinks that some Republican will certainly do it next time. But unlike a number of his fellow Republicans, Mr. Dewey goes all the way with the administration's policy in Europe, and indeed is prodding it to go farther and faster. It seems to me that today's Republican speeches rather seem to fit Mr. Lincoln's formula. They're using speech to communicate their pain and their pleasurable emotions. The party spokesmen, so deeply divided on foreign policy, are giving each other and the country the benefit of their observations. I suspect that Mr. Lincoln would have approved of this debate, would have participated in it, although not perhaps at such great length as some of today's orators, because Mr. Lincoln would have believed that a result might thus be reached which neither alone would have arrived at. This is Ed Morrow. I'll be back in a moment with the word for today.
One nice thing about these long winter evenings is that they give you a chance to catch up with yourself and sort of take it easy, to get to that book you've been planning to read, and to enjoy the closeness of your family. Maybe you'll add a little festivity to your evening by popping a big bowl of hot, salted popcorn. And as a mighty, satisfying, refreshing touch, pour a glass of America's most refreshing beer, Ham's Beer, from the land of the sky-blue waters. Ham's is brewed with unhurried skill, with the finest ingredients known, with smoothness aged in. Ham's Beer captures for you that clean, crisp refreshment of this magic land where it's brewed. That's why thousands upon thousands are switching to Ham's, the beer that looks as refreshing as it tastes. Tonight, add the refreshing touch to your quiet evening at home. Enjoy a bottle of Ham's Beer and discover for yourself why it's become America's most refreshing beer. Refreshingly yours, from the land of the sky-blue waters. Now, Ed, what's the word for today?
In 1862, Mr. Lincoln said, "In times like the present, men should utter nothing for which they would not willingly be responsible through time and eternity." And 2 years later, he said, "I believe I shall never be old enough to speak without embarrassment when I have nothing to talk about." And he could say with true humility at the height of his power, and what politician of either party could echo it now? He said, "People attach too much importance to what I say anyhow." Good night and good luck.
Edward R. Murrow and the News is brought to you by Ham's, America's most refreshing beer, brewed by the Ham Brewing Company of St. Paul, Minnesota. Looks refreshing, tastes refreshing, is refreshing. Ham's, brewed in the land of the sky-blue waters. For real refreshment, have a Ham's, America's most refreshing beer. Ham's. Listen tomorrow, tomorrow. Larry Alexander speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.